Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back again, and you know what? If you don't like that,
it doesn't matter what you think!
And we are here again for another 90-minute off-the-ropes segment, and I actually need to change this up because for some reason I guess I put the wrong amount of time in here. It tells me the show is only 15 minutes long. That's not what I was looking for. I need to change that up ASAP. Anyway.
Well, yes, the band is back together.
Yes, yes, we are. And Dave, I hope, hopefully, is calling in soon here.
Dave will be calling in soon. The band is back together, and you can't teach that, and there ain't nothing anybody can do about it.
No, there is not. And, you know, Enzo, what is this whole thing with Enzo and Lana now?
Here's the thing. The whole deal between Enzo and Lana is kind of like what was originally supposed to happen with Lana and Dolph Ziggler, okay? But now they're throwing Enzo into the mix to take over for what Dolph Ziggler was supposed to do. Now, the whole deal, I don't get it, and you'll read my opinion on this on my blog coming up tomorrow, as everybody can tune in and watch it. This makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, everybody knows that Lana and Rusev are married in real life, so this little storyline makes no sense whatsoever. I have no idea what they're doing. It just makes no sense, and it's not going to last.
Well, maybe they're setting up something for the future.
Yeah, and it's going to be really, really dumb as they set it up because they're not doing it correctly. Because they're not listening to us. Now, for people that are watching Raw, as you know, we take you through the last hour of Raw. Right now, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. It's Chris Jericho versus Roman Reigns. If it does not happen tonight, which I think it will happen, if it does not happen tonight, you are going to see Jericho become the new United States champion.
And why is that?
Well, he's been getting one heck of a push with him and his buddy Kevin Owens, who their little friendship seems to have dissolved, but it's all a calculated plan between these two. To start taking over to gain the main championships on Monday Night Raw. That's the whole deal. I don't buy their feud. There's something about it I do not believe and I don't trust.
Well, who knows? I mean, they need something. They need something to happen to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty bland storyline.
Yeah. And the whole deal, I mean, the whole deal with them feuding right now is just something to push it along, so they can make the ultimate story thing happen. Two guys holding the two big titles on Monday Night Raw together. That's what they're pushing.
Well, then, why does Reigns lose, though? You were saying something about possibly Reigns winning the belt in the pay-per-view?
Yes. What's going to happen is Reigns losing the United States title so he can become the Universal Champion, which will set up the feud between him and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, with Seth Rollins jumping in the mix, and eventually the Shield returning. That's what they're setting up. You're eventually going to see Dean Ambrose jump over to Raw, and the Shield will be formed. That is what they're setting up.
I sure hope. I mean, the Shield is, you know, the Shield is pretty amazing. So
yeah, I mean,
now,
right now
thing I clicked on,
kicking the ass, and they're not. Well, and this is the step in the right direction. Go ahead.
No. And my thing also is, like, this Iron Man match being set up between Sasha and Charlotte. Yeah, it's cool. It's extreme, but it's only 30 minutes. Now I understand, you know. One, they're women, but that shouldn't matter. And two, you don't want to take up too much programming because you have a pretty deep roster. Now, is it the best roster you've ever had on Raw? No, but it is a deep roster and a lot of shit to fill. And you can't have hour-long Iron Man match. But these two women are going to have a 30-minute Iron Man match. It's not an Iron Man match. Some matches last 30 minutes anyway. You know,
yeah.
So to me, that doesn't make any sense. And I think that. You know, I think that if you're going to do something out of the ordinary, do what you did at Hell in a Cell, having the three Hell in a Cell matches and whatnot. You know, if you're going to do something like that, do something extreme you don't see very often. I mean, every once in a while, you'll get a really good match. It'll be a 20 or 30-minute match. And so a 30-minute Iron Man match, to me, isn't Iron Man. To me, that's just a hard-fought match. So
yeah, and it makes
there's
sense,
a couple things they're doing that don't make sense to me.
Yeah, for you know, and since it's going to be two women, wouldn't it be an Iron Woman match? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah,
what
but,
do you think about?
I mean, I know political correctness is at a peak in this country. I don't think it's that high yet, though.
Yeah, so then we'll have to call it an Iron Person match if they want to be politically correct. But the whole deal, you know, we've been talking about this for the last couple months that. What they're doing is they're Charlotte's title tally up to match her father's. Why do you think Ric Flair is back now? It's not just because he needs the money. It's obviously that's what they're setting up. We've been talking about this for months, for weeks. That's what they're setting up. I mean, she's going to win the title, lose the title. Win the title, lose the title. Until she gets up to... Until she has the equal amount of title reigns as her dad does. And then things will start to happen in the women's division, just like what's happening with the tag team championships. Once the record is broken, held by Demolition, once New Day taken over this record, then you're going to start seeing the tag team championship reigns start to take off. Right now, it's just mediocre until that record is broken.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, Raw, it had not Raw, WWE in general, had such a good pay-per-view at TLC. They really did. And now they're back to their shenanigans again of stuff that just doesn't make sense. And I think it's sort of grasping for straws a little bit, you know, in my opinion.
Well, and your opinion is 100% right on. Okay, here's the thing. Usually, you know, your biggest title on Raw, we all know, is a Universal title because it's supposed to be the equivalent of the world title, right or wrong.
Right.
Right, exactly. So let me ask you this. Why would you have a match such as that, even though it was Sami Zayn, why would you have a match like that that should be your main event be in the first hour of the show? Just like right now, you have the second biggest title on Monday Night Raw, the United States Championship. You're having that at the end of hour number two. Why are you having main event matches not be in the main event? This does not make any sense. They still have not figured out how to put a show together. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I sort of understand this because, I mean, Raw back in the day used to do, like, world title matches at, like, 9:45. And I understand that. The reason why they're doing it, especially with a three-hour show that they have to fill, is because they don't want people to change the station. I mean, they got Monday Night Football, they got other things going on. They don't want people to change the station. And for this program, this has been pretty lackluster. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, for a little while, they want to keep people interested and put the interesting matches, in the front so that people don't go, you know what, I'll tune back into the main event and then start watching something else and forget. You know, so I think if they put a match like this in now, they can put their other big storyline, which is arguably the biggest storyline that they have, which is the women's one, and put that in their main event and, you know, put a match like this, you know, now so that people go, Jets-Colts game kind of sucks. I'm gonna stay here for now and then do that because, you know, if they were having, you know, the cruiserweight match right now, if they were having, you know, some East bumfuck nobody match, people would be like, you know what, all right, I've watched 2 hours of this, I'll tune back in. So I kind of like the booking because I like to be entertained the entire time, not just the last half hour. So that's why I'm with it. I'm behind it on this 100%. But I it's still not a match that I really care about. I mean, I understand your logic behind it. I understand why you feel like, you know, perhaps Reigns is going to win for said reason, but I just to have Jericho win a belt at his old age. I mean, I understand Jericho is, you know, a legend and he's been around forever and he was in some of the major storylines back in the day, but he's washed up, man. I mean, his time is over. He's done.
Well, yeah, there's
I don't
deny that. That's why him and Kevin Owens work so perfectly together, because they feed off of each other. Because, you know, one's the young guy, one's the old guy. You know, that's why them as partners make so much sense. But what doesn't make any sense to me is why they keep insulting our intelligence with the match orders that they have. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, now Jericho is going for the Walls of Jericho again. For the third time, now he's got his cinched in after trying to put it in, on for three times as they're trying to extend this match as long as people can stomach it. But this, you need to have that shock value. And Chris Jericho, the title here, is that shock value that they need. Monday Night Raw has not had that in how long? It's been too long. And fans are looking for something different. And that's why Jericho winning the title here would make sense. He's probably not going to hold on to it for very long, but it would make sense.
Well, I think one of the big things, and I know we talk Attitude Era on this show a lot, but one of the big things that
Kevin
sort
Owens
of
just
made...
came up and she got it, Roman Reigns. And
I think one of the big things that made the Attitude Era what it was and so popular among fans and all that is the fact that this, you know, this team, or excuse me, this team, I switched over briefly to football, is that this shock value that you talk about was one of the big things. I mean, stuff would happen, and you'd be like, oh, my God, did that just happen? And that's what made wrestling popular. That's what made it, you know, famous. And I they haven't had that. So you're right, they haven't had that in a while, but this isn't shock value to me. I mean, Jericho's a legend. Jericho's supposed to be winning these kind of matches. I don't know. I feel like, to me, the booking doesn't make sense because, I mean, what beef do these guys have? Like, there's no emotion if Jericho wins this. There's no, you know, oh, my God, he finally beat Roman Reigns. Oh, wait a minute. Here's Reigns with the spear. 3. Yep. No, you were wrong. So now I'm really confused. For those of you who may be watching, Reigns just won.
And, of course, I'm on a delay, so I just saw it.
Yeah, and so Reigns just won, and he's now mad at Kevin Owens. So maybe they're thinking of going another way. Maybe they're thinking of possibly creating a split between these two guys.
That's what, you know, and that's the other thing that would make the logic for Jericho to win a championship is so that they, you know, that the split would happen, you know. And, you know, Jericho's saying, okay, hey, I got a belt, you got a belt. Why don't we settle it, you know? I mean, it would make sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we were just talking about, Raw is missing that shock value. And here's a perfect example of Raw value from back in the day. When Stone Cold Steve Austin beat Kane for the championship after losing it at the pay-per-view, that was probably,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was not expecting that to happen. That was major shock value. You know, Raw is lacking that. They do not have that anymore. I mean, what's the biggest shocking moment to happen on Raw over the last couple months?
Exactly. If I had to name one off the top of my head, I couldn't name it.
Yeah, and your silence there is understandable because they haven't had any. You know, basically a senior citizen when it comes to wrestling history, they're insulting our intelligence, and fans are not enjoying this. That's why Raw's ratings are down. Because more people are tuning into SmackDown because they can see better content. Raw does not have that content.
And they've even had better pay-per-views. Like, I mean, TLC was amazing, in my opinion.
Oh, it was no, that was an awesome pay-per-view. And I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. The fire the bookers, fire the writers, do whatever you got to do, but stop doing what you're doing.
So
and they're
showing the
they
replay
won't.
Of Charlotte right now. Anyway, continue. Sorry. They're showing the replay of Charlotte yelling at her dad.
Yeah, and now her dad had returned last week. As we
and held
as
up
we saw
the bank hand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Ric Flair made an appearance a little earlier, about, I don't know, what, 25 minutes ago, to Enzo Amore.
Your buddy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if he can get Lana, he is my hero, you know? I mean,
you love Enzo.
I'd have to hand it to him. I don't think he's going to, because we know that Lana is clearly married to Rusev. So, you know, that storyline doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. They had, for one of the first times that I remember, they had a real-life relationship or a real-life thing happening on screen. Okay, now maybe Rusev and Lana are having real-life problems, and they're bringing those real-life problems onto the screen. That could possibly be the case. I mean, I don't think she's leaving him for Enzo in real life, but Sure. There could be a little bit of an issue there, and they could be playing it for ratings. I mean, this is a dog-eat-dog world. It's a cutthroat business. It's definitely possible.
Yeah. You mean kind of like, and I cannot believe I'm bringing this up. I apologize to all our fans listening. I apologize for bringing this up because I know that you're going to say something about it. But it's kind of like what they did with the real-life animosity between Edge and...
Matt Hardy
and Lita. They played that damn thing, and that was real. They played that
Lita was also, well, remember, though, too, Lita was also dating Matt Hardy with the whole thing when she got pregnant by Kane.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
But at the time, Kane was on such a roll, you're not going to have Matt Hardy beat. But, I mean, yeah, the whole Edge thing, that was, I guess you could say that was a black stain on Edge's perfect record, my opinion.
Yeah, and it was. But that storyline was more realistic because it was really happening compared to the whole Kane and Lita thing. Fans did not buy that. That's why that storyline was killed off before it really took off. But the thing is...
Mm-hmm.
With Matt Hardy calling in to radio shows when Lita was on or Edge was on, that was all real. That was not a storyline thing. That was all real. That's why fans migrated to it, because it was real. This whole deal between now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the storyline between Lana and Rusev, if they are having real life problems, you did notice. And I don't know if you did or not, I noticed that Lana lost her accent tonight. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a little bit, actually.
Yeah. So this whole deal between Lana and Rusev, if they are having real problems, they're bringing out the light, I don't know why they would have Enzo. There's other guys they could have chose besides Enzo. I mean, the first semi-nudity...
Yeah, but maybe that's that shock value. Maybe that's that shock value you're talking about. For people going, Enzo, who, why? You know? Because, I mean, even back in the day, things used to happen. You used to be like, okay. You know? So maybe that's what they're doing here with this.
Right. And the whole deal, I mean... We all know, and we can thank Eric Bischoff for that. He's the one that actually started real shock value in the wrestling world with the NWO. And if this is what it's going to need to do to get Raw back on track, so be it. They need a kick in the ass, and they're insulting our intelligence right now. But this is what it takes. If it's going to take showing Enzo nude with pixelated screening covering his naughty areas, fine. But stop insulting my intelligence. Stop insulting your intelligence. Stop insulting everybody's intelligence. Show us the matches that would make Raw great again. And they're not doing that. I mean, okay, Titus O'Neil versus Mark Henry. That was a five-second match. Did we care? No.
No, and if you're trying to push Titus O'Neil, this was a big, you know, roadblock right in the middle of that whole thing. So, I mean, this really stopped him short. So, I don't know.
Right, and now, Big Cass and Rusev. Do we care about this match? No.
Well, we care about it now because of the little thing that they had, the little spat that they had after he left after Enzo left to go meet Lana, and those two kind of got at it in the locker room. Now it kind of makes sense a little bit, but in the grand scheme of things, no, I don't.
And now Rusev isn't even coming out.
No, this could be a setup.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it would be a great setup if this is what they're doing. But you know, here's a perfect example. Today started out with Seth Rollins, you know, and like I say, you can read more about this in my blog, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. I don't give a damn.
That's fine.
Here's the thing. It started out with Seth Rollins coming out and challenging Triple H. I thought, okay, fine. This is where Raw needs to go. This is what we need to see. And then what do we go? What happens?
I think it is going to be
what
a setup, by the way.
Yeah. What happens? When we think that it's going to be the match. Oh, my God.
Yep. This is going to be
a
setup, I think.
For Christ's sake.
Rusev's in the room. I'm telling
yeah,
you,
he's gonna come
those of you watching Raw, we're taking you through the end of Raw here. Rusev's in the room somewhere in the bathroom or whatever. He's going to beat the shit out of Enzo here. That's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you. This is just a setup. It has setup written all over it.
And if he's not, Enzo, you lucky bastard.
Oh, I know, right?
Tell me, even if this is a setup, wouldn't you like to be holding Lonnie in your arms right now?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you had a chance to see... Jesus Christ!
For those of you who don't know, Icon is on delay, so his reactions are a little bit after what you're seeing on your screen here. But
yeah, but tell me something. If you had a chance to see Lana in a robe and nothing else, of course, I don't know if she has anything else on there. I'd sure like to find out. But would you be willing to get your ass kicked to be in the same room with that?
No. Nope.
You wouldn't be?
No female body is worth an ass kicking, in my opinion.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
This is getting pretty intimate now. He has no shirt on.
You know what that reminded me of just now? She ripped off the shirt and she ripped off his crucifix. That reminds me of Hulk Hogan when Andre the Giant did to Hulk Hogan back in 84, or no 80, whatever it was, whatever year that was, WrestleMania 3. You know. That's a replay of that. That's a playoff of that. But here's the thing. Now, I know that you said no woman is worth getting your ass kicked for. Apparently, you and I live in two different worlds because there is hot wrestling females out there that I'd be willing to get my ass kicked just be in the room with them wearing nothing but a robe and a smile. Now he's taking his pants off. And he's showing everybody his spandex boxer shorts. Okay? I really don't want to see.
And yet, the accent, she's sort of teetering between accent and non-accent. Yep, there's Rusev. Told you. Set up.
Well, I knew it was a setup, but jeez. Just to be able to hold Lon in an outfit like that for a few seconds, I don't care.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. His head actually hit the wall there.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Wow. Yeah, his head actually hit the wall.
Concussion.
Put him to the... again, he hit the table.
Okay, now here's the thing. This, what do we want to call it? Do we want to call this a hotel room brawl? Is that what we want to call it?
Sure.
This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about that Raw has been lacking. But it's just
interesting. But
yeah, he
in the attitude era, this would have been a lot more intense, and they'd beat up a lot worse. But
in the attitude era, what happened in the grocery store between Booker T, Stone Cold, Steve Austin?
Yeah, that's true. That was awesome, by the way. You know what this reminds me of? You remember when Edge and Lita were in the hotel room and John Cena, like, he ordered room service, and John Cena was the room service guy and then beat the hell out of Edge in the hotel room? That's what this sort of reminds me of a little bit.
Yeah, it does. You know? Now, but here's the thing I don't understand, okay? You know, this is still technically the PG era. Am I right?
Hold on. Say that one more time. I had to turn the mic away for a second. What was that?
Okay. This is still technically the PG era. Am I right?
As far as I know. I haven't been told otherwise, yeah.
Okay. But it seems like the last couple weeks that they're trying to bring back, they're trying to be attitude era-esque, if that makes sense, if that's a word. With, I mean, Lana wearing a robe, okay, Enzo wearing nothing, you know. Of course, I don't know why, you know, why they want to torture Enzo, you know. You know, and I don't understand, you know, Enzo, does this mean that they could be breaking up Enzo and Big Cass? Is that what this means?
No, I think they're just setting up a storyline between these two now. Because obviously Lana and Rusev are fine.
Are they?
Yeah, looks like it. Looks like they're fine.
Yeah. Well, won't Rusev get pissed when he gets the bill for breaking that $275 lamp?
Yeah, well, that's all set up. I mean, they knew that was going to happen. I mean, that hotel probably paid a bit advance for that.
Yeah. The Honeymoon Haven Hotel. Anyway. So, back to the point here. You know, I kind of do like this storyline a little bit. You know, it's like it's getting the shock value that Raw has needed and has been lackluster on. I mean, even though you and I both predicted it, we knew it was going to be a setup. We knew that Enzo was going to get his ass kicked, but hey, I guess I come from a different frame of mind. When if I can hold Lana in my arms with her wearing nothing but a robe and getting my ass kicked 5 minutes later, that's, you know, I'd do that. I'd love to be part of that storyline. You know, like I say, I guess I just come from a different mindset than you do, I guess. Which there's nothing wrong with that. At least I don't think so. But hey. Okay, so now that storyline has fizzled out, the fact that we might have got a nit slip by Lana or something didn't happen.
No,
but anyway,
didn't happen.
Now let's talk about what's the and I don't know if you're seeing the same previews that I am. Like right now, I'm seeing an Orbitz commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But they're previewing the new Cruiserweight show on the WWE Network. Now, have you watched any of that? It debuted last week. Have you watched it?
No, I'm not a big Cruiserweight guy.
Do you care?
Not really. What? But what was your point here?
Well, my point is nobody cares. You don't care. I don't care. The fans don't care.
Yeah. True.
You know, like, if Raw was smart, because Raw is the only one that's got the Cruiserweight division, if Raw was smart, they would have let SmackDown win that and have the Cruiserweight title go to SmackDown and had the Intercontinental Championship go to Raw, if they were smart. But apparently they're not, because none of that happened. I don't care about the Cruiserweight division. But this What is the name of the guy that debuted today? The guy that looks like a smaller version of Sheamus with the white skin. What's his name?
Oh, I'm watching the hit. I was watching some other. I was doing work for a college basketball game before during the early parts of all, so I didn't see it.
Yeah, but anyway, this guy here, and I can't remember his name, and I was going to talk about him. He's got that accent, you know. He's got the big pale white skin, you know. He's a redhead like Sheamus is, and he's slowly in the cruiserweight division, and this guy has got moves that I have never seen before.
Hmm.
You know, and he's very athletic. You know, and that's what the cruiserweight division is built upon, is athleticism and guys that are putting on kick-ass matches, but they're not doing the cruiserweight division like the WCW did the cruiserweight division. And if they're trying to capitalize that, they're doing it all wrong. They're giving it its own show, which it does not need.
No one's watching.
Cares?
No, nobody gives a shit about cruiserweights. I don't, for sure. There's a lot of wrestling marks out there who do. I'm sure.
You're kind of muffled. I can't understand you.
Oh, sorry. I said I don't like the cruiserweight. I don't care about it, but I'm sure that there's some wrestling marks out there who do.
Okay. By the way, do we know when the Hammer's going to be joining us? If he's ill.
No, I don't think he can make the show today.
I remember
he had sent me a message like about a week ago, and I totally forgot that today was the date. So I don't think he will be on today, but he'll be back next week, I believe. He said he might be able to make it to the late stages of the show, but
okay.
I don't know if he can make it today.
What is...
So the club, Gallows and Anderson, how much of a disappointment have they been?
Well, yeah. So this is a title match. Guess who's going to win this? It ain't going to be those two. I mean, I can see right through this stuff. You can see right through this stuff. Everybody can see right through this stuff. New Day is not going to win this. New Day is not going to lose the titles until the record is broken. We know this.
No, I know. New Day, I was taking New Day last year. I mean, I'm taking New Day.
Well, you know, I've been sick of them ever since they came out with that. How many months ago was that now when they did the time warp thing or whatever the hell it was with the, they came out of the box?
The whole big gift box, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was bored with them then. Now we got Cesaro coming out.
Honestly, I was bored of them before then, to be honest with you. Like, way before then.
So, what is this? Is this a match to decide the number one contender? Is that what we have here?
I believe so, yeah.
Versus, the Gallows.
Yeah, the club is like I said, they're kind of a disappointment. I mean, they should be so much better than they are, but they're not.
Yeah.
They actually really
and bad. You know, and the whole deal with Cesaro and Sheamus. Okay. These two have what it takes to be a great tag team. WWE is ruining that too. You know.
That is true. New Day just says that I am, honestly. I'm just thinking I'm being the champion.
Yeah, you're still muffled, buddy. I can't hear you.
And I'm just sick of them being the champions. I'm just done with New Day. Like, honestly, The Monday Night Football game's a blowout. I'd rather watch that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I have no idea what the, you know, we know that what, like I say, we know that once the record is broken, held by Demolition, then the WWE tag team division will become great again, but not.
How much longer do they have to do that?
I think record would be broken at the pay per view. I do believe. If I'm not mistaken, it's like 435 days or something like that.
Okay.
But
well, I'm okay with it if it's soon, but if it's not soon, I really would prefer they just go away.
Yeah. Well, I know it's either a week. I think it's like a week, week and a half away before they break the record. Then the tag team division can start heating up again like it should. Because the tag team division, can you name the last time they've had a good match on Raw? A good tag team match? No. When's the last time there was a good title on Raw?
It's too far back for me to remember.
Yeah. So, let me ask you, that brings me to my next point. What title that's on Raw right now means anything? Does anybody care about? There isn't one.
If I think long and hard about that, no, I think you're right. I don't think there is one.
Really? You know, SmackDown gives their has brought their titles meeting. Raw has not.
No, they haven't, and it's unfortunate. It really is.
I mean, let me ask you this: does Kevin Owens make a good champion? No.
He's not the worst I've ever seen, but no, he's not my choice for champion. No.
Has the rating slipped since he's been champion? Yeah.
Have they? I don't know.
Have they what?
I think they have, haven't they?
Well, he's still champion.
Oh, well, then maybe they haven't. I don't know.
And everybody keeps saying that it's not Kevin Owens' fault that the ratings have slipped on Raw, but there's only one problem with that statement. Generally, whoever your champion is the one that drives the ratings for you. And since he's been champion, the ratings have went to heck. I mean,
so why not take the strap off him then? I don't get it.
I think at the upcoming pay per view, I think it needs to happen.
But who would you put it on that would boost ratings on this current roster?
To be honest with you, I think it needs to go back on Seth Rollins. Because they're not gonna put it on Roman Reigns. We all know that.
Well, no, I don't think they will. Well, we saw what happened last time we put it on Roman. It was a disaster. No, I really honestly don't know. I don't know. I don't see another rising star. I think they're waiting for Finn Balor.
Well, I originally thought that, but with Seth Rollins coming out and challenging Triple H, this is what would set things up for the writers that are listening to this show right now. This is the way you're going to set it up. You're going to have Seth Rollins championship. And he's going to be champ up until WrestleMania, which happens in April. So you got January, February, March, April. You got 4 months. Mm-hmm. Then you have the main event between Seth Rollins and Triple H for the title. Okay?
Okay.
Guess who's going to win the title in that match?
Triple H.
Right. And then, what do you think's going to happen then?
He's going to hold like a tournament type of thing to decide who gets the vacant title?
Well, no, the title's not going to be vacated, but then you're going to see Mr. Kevin Owens resurface.
Get it back? Yeah, I can see it. I don't know. I think that would be kind of terrible, though. I just want Owens to go away, honestly.
Well, I do too. You know, the travesty that happened on the pay-per-view.
Oh yeah.
Have they completely lost it with this goof? I mean, I'm so frustrated.
So is this our main event? Is this tag team match our main event for tonight?
I believe so. Whoever wins this faces New Day at the pay-per-view for the championship, which is where I do believe New Day will finally lose the title.
I would be really happy about it. Although I wouldn't want to see either one of these teams be champion. I just think the tag team division has really gone to shit.
Oh, it has. But if you had to pick one, if you were forced to pick one, of these two teams, who would you want?
Probably Anderson and Gallows, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I like heel teams. And I think that Sheamus and Cesaro, I'm not a big Sheamus fan, period. And being Irish, I mean Sheamus is kind of a slap in the face. So
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of either one of these two guys. But I don't know. I mean, I already know who's going to win. It's going to be Sheamus and Cesaro. They're trying to push them, and the club hasn't done anything since they reached the main roster. So
yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's another predictable match that I really honestly have no interest in.
And you're right about that. Now here's the thing. I mean, you know, the club. I mean. You know, here's the deal. The club had a great thing going with AJ Styles. And what did they do?
Very good.
They blew it. You know? So, I think you need to get the club back with AJ Styles. You know, you need to find a way to get those guys over to SmackDown, and you need to get, bring the Wyatts over from SmackDown, put them on Raw, you know, put them all together.
I think that they got to do something. I mean, this team, these two tag teams are probably the most uneventful tag teams I think I've ever seen. I mean, I've never been a huge tag team guy anyway. In fact, I liked when they used to mix and match, like what they're doing with Sheamus and Cesaro, back when they used to have, you know, the Chris Benoit and Edge randomly teaming up, and, you know, RVD randomly teaming up with people and winning the belt, Kane and X-Pac randomly teaming up. But, you know, these two just don't do it for the random team-ups for me because I don't like either one of them. I think they're both bland and boring in the ring.
Well, you're absolutely right. I can't disagree with that. But, you know, the way that they set it up when these guys teamed up, you know, with the best out of seven challenge, and then they teamed them up, and they were against each other, they kind of let that storyline go.
Honestly, I mean, this match, whoever wins it, I'm just going to be happy that they're possibly taking the tag titles off of the New Day, honestly. Because New Day to me. Oh, maybe it won't be the main event because here we go. We still got 10 minutes left, so who knows? But I just this match to me is just it's boring. It just doesn't matter. I don't care. Like if I had to think of a particular soundbite watching this match, you know, like if this was the only thing on TV, I look at it as,
oh my God, who the hell cares?
It just doesn't have that oh my God potential. You know, that's making me, I honestly don't even know, like, what I want to say about this match. You know, and so, obviously, it's a disqualification. It's a win via disqualification, which is cheap to begin with. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see what it's going to be. My question is, if it's a win via DQ, Charlotte's coming out. Cool. But if it's a win via DQ, does that mean both teams then are going to face at the pay-per-view? Or how's that going to work?
Triple threat, no.
Yeah, I think so. Which, honestly, I think is a better way to do it than having to choose between one of the two teams. I'm okay with a triple threat.
Yeah.
I'm always okay with a triple threat.
Is it here that's trying to honor tonight?
A little bit. Yeah, I was just noticing that myself, honestly. I mean, Charlotte's looking better than I've seen her in a while, honestly.
Yeah, and I know you don't like her because Ric Flair's daughter, but...
Well, it has nothing to do with not liking her because of Ric Flair's daughter. I don't like her because she's a whiny bitch and she's Ric Flair's daughter. You know, I mean, if your dad is the greatest of all time and the dirtiest player in the game and all this, you know, you're going to cry every 2 seconds. It just doesn't do it for me.
Well, yeah.
But I do like the fact that she's a heel. In fact, I think I'm one of the only people who likes Trish Stratus better as a heel. I honestly think I am. But, you know, back when she was doing the whole thing with Christian, when she was dating Christian and Tyson Tomko back in 04,
right.
03, 04, I actually liked Trish better that way. So, I mean, I'm kind of a sucker for the female heel character, but I don't like Charlotte as a heel because she's not really a heel. I mean, yeah, she's a bitch and she'll say bitchy, mean things, but then she'll cry. And I'm like, stop crying. You're not helping your case. You're supposed to be the toughest woman on this roster, and you're a brat. That's all you are.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you this. Who, in your opinion, and I'll give mine, I'll ask you first, who do you
mm-hmm.
think is the best heel diva ever?
Well, when Lita was a heel, she really didn't wrestle much. She was more of a manager. Boy, your knowledge goes back farther than mine does. But I would probably have to say either when Sable went heel, briefly, though be it brief, or I'm trying to think here throughout the years. WWE Divas. No, I don't think Mickie James was ever a heel, was she? No. Well, maybe. She sort of was. She sort of was. You know, I would have to say, even though she was disgusting to look at, I would have to say Chyna, because she was just so intriguing to me.
Yeah. Well, I have.
And the fact that she wrestled men, you know. But.
Yeah, I have two because it's kind of a tie.
Okay.
Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't know that would count. Obviously, Stephanie McMahon be the top, but she never really wrestled. I didn't count her as a diva. But, oh, okay, that's fine.
Well, she was a champion for a while.
Yeah, but that's because she was part of the McMahon-Hamilton regime, and they basically won it for her and handed it to her. But, yeah, that's fine. Okay.
And Medusa, a.k.a. Alondra Blaze.
Okay, that's back before my time. But, yeah, okay,
yeah,
I'm with it.
I loved her as Alondra Blaze, but when she went to WCW and dropped the WWE women's title in the garbage can, I'm like, yeah, you know, I could get into this, you know. And what is she doing now? She's driving monster trucks.
That's awesome.
You know,
actually, you know, pretty good woman heel was the beautiful people in TNA. I mean, not only is Velvet Sky, not only when I do unforgivable things to Velvet Sky, but they were pretty good heels too, just because, I mean, they were so much hotter than you, and they let you know it. You know, they're like, hey, yeah, we look good. We look better than you do, and we're going to rub it in your face. And I liked that. It was some sort of a – they used sex appeal to be heels, and I liked that.
Yeah, that's one thing, though. I never watched TNA ever.
You got to get into it. I honestly, to be honest with you, I lost interest in WWE around 2011 or so. And the TNA got me through it because TNA had a lot of ex-WWF guys that I grew up watching. And it also had the writing and the storylines and the intensity. It was like the Attitude Era all over again. I mean, you know, you could still hit them with chairs, albeit not in the head, but, you know, you still had your intense, you know, your cage matches, your people doing backflips off the stage through tables. I mean, you still had, but then you also had, you had that extreme element, but you just had better storylines. Like, there were storylines that I would watch in TNA that I would be, like, into, that I would be like, oh, wow. Like, if I can't watch it this week, I have to record it because I want to know what happens. And one of those was AJ Styles. AJ Styles and Dixie Carter were going at it. And Dixie Carter, being the owner of the company at the time, those two had a little bit of a beef. And, you know, just watching those. And then Bubba Ray Dudley, of course, he was known as Bully Ray in TNA, was the champion. And the whole locker room ganged up to try to beat Bully Ray, and nobody could do it. And it was just like each week, it was like, hey, who's going to beat Bully Ray this week? And it was an interesting, it was just the booking. I felt the booking and the writing was so much better than WWE was at the time because it was writing similar to what I grew up on. And that's why I got really into TNA. And you know, now, obviously, it's really, really hard to watch a TNA event because they're on, like, Destination America or some shit. But back then they were on. Back then they were on Spike, so I could watch them every week if I wanted to. So it was, you know, and I would do that. I would watch that, and they were on at the same time as Raw, which was ballsy. But they were on at the same time, and they would compete just like the Monday Night Wars used to do. And I liked it. I thought it was a ballsy move, and obviously then, as Dustin laid out for us, what Triple H did about putting those deposits down and basically running them out of business, I was like, ah, shit, all right. Well, now I'm not going to be able to watch it. I might as well go back to WWE and see what's going on. But, you know, during that whole, like, Nexus period and all that, I sort of had to brush up on WWE because I was watching TNA at the time.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about, okay, they just announced that they're going to have a triple threat match next week on Monday Night Raw for the tag team championship.
Wow,
and
she just said bitch. She just said bitch on cable television.
Can you
believe
that?
Well, I didn't think the PG era would allow that. And she's wearing the exact same outfit she wore that night when she was a bitch too.
Yeah.
Exact same outfit.
Now they're showing the thing from last May again. They already showed it.
Yeah.
Don't they know that?
Well, no, I know, because Charlotte brought it up. Charlotte said, you know, for those of you who may not remember, this is what I said, and she's apologizing for being what she just quoted as a quote-unquote cold-hearted bitch. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, now that she doesn't have the title, oh, how convenient is it, now she needs daddy again.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the interesting thing, you know, about Ric Flair, you know, when Ric Flair, I never used to watch WCW, so I watched AWA, you know, but I never watched WCW, so my first taste of Ric Flair came over when he came over to the WWE in the 90s. When he was, quote, on Real World's Champion. That was my first exposure to Ric Flair. I didn't like him then.
Okay.
And I didn't like him when he went back to WCW. I didn't like him when he came back to WWE and the whole Evolution thing, you know. But,
did you like Evolution or
not? I did not like Evolution. You know, I thought it was a great concept. But I didn't like any of those guys. But...
Okay.
The funny, the funny thing about Ric Flair, and this may be an ego thing on my part, but I didn't start really liking Ric Flair until I met him in person when he was here in Fargo, my hometown.
Okay.
You know? You know, I didn't like the guy until I met him in person.
Was he kind of a dick in person or no?
No, he was a hell of a nice guy, you know?
It's
completely night and day from the way from his character on TV, the way he is in person, he's completely different.
He's limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing.
He still talks like that off camera, too.
All right.
You know? And
does he actually say woo in person? Yeah.
Of course, everybody wants him to say, have him do that, you know?
I thought several times, honestly, I thought that Ric Flair, during the Evolution time period, like when he used to get all riled up, I always thought he was going to have a heart attack. I mean, he used to get so worked up about everything. And, you know, I liked Evolution, and then when they first came out, I didn't like them. I booed them because they were heels, and I was a young kid. But I liked the concept like you did, but then like New Day, they got stale. They won everything, and they got stale. And then when Evolution turned on Randy Orton, after Randy Orton won the belt over Chris Benoit at the pay-per-view, then I was like, this is going to get interesting because Randy Orton, I knew, had a lot of talent, and I knew Randy Orton was going to be a young and upcoming star. And I was like, this is going to be interesting, the whole Triple H and Randy Orton feud. I liked that. And then obviously, you know, they disbanded in 05, and then, it became the time of Edge after that, which was awesome. But I just, I don't know. Ric Flair, to me, I watched a little bit of WCW, but again, I watched it for Hulk Hogan because of my aunt's affiliation with him, so I watched a lot of the NWO. And Ric Flair was, at that point, really more of a manager anyway. He fought every once in a while, but he was really more of just a guy who would come out in a business suit and yell in a microphone. So I never really thought much about Ric Flair. And then Ric Flair went to TNA as well. I don't know if you knew that. Flair was in TNA as a manager as well. And then Hulk Hogan went over there, and Hulk Hogan was a general manager and could make matches and do different things. And I was like, wow, all right, TNA's stepping their game up a little bit. But I don't know why they're ending the show with a talking segment here. Unless this is about to get explosive, I don't know why they're ending with talking. You always got to end with something exciting.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's Monday Night Raw, okay? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I don't get this. You know?
Every once in a while, though, you used to see this. You used to see a talking bit to end the show, but it was only if something major happened. And I guess I can understand where the writers are coming from, because this is the number one storyline going on right now. So, you know, why not end with it? But, you know, you can read right through Charlotte. I mean, she really needs to take acting classes, because you can read right through. I know her character is supposed to be sorry or whatever, but I guarantee you she's going to be quote-unquote fake sorry. But you can see right through it. She might be a hell of an athlete, but she really needs to take acting classes, because I'm not buying the fact that she's sorry right now. So
no, I'm not either.
No.
I don't believe that smile either. I mean, come on.
No, hell no. You know who else was a pretty good heel? Actually, in my opinion, just because she was also kind of a bitch. She was only a limited WWE champion, women's champion for a while, but Molly Holly, and I'm not talking about when she was the superhero. I'm talking about when she got her head shaved. She would wear the wig every week. She wasn't bad. She wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
I also liked, but think about back then. You had Trish Stratus, Lita. You had Victoria, Molly Holly. Gail Kim. I mean, you had some decent named stars coming up at that time, and then soon after that, Mickey James would debut, and you know, you had Melina. I remember the Spanish girl Melina for a while. She was pretty good.
Yeah. Corey Wilson was a good heel.
You know, I remember what was the other one's name? The one that came over from SmackDown there. She was Nvidia.
Yeah,
I mean, they had some talent. Right now, they have two girls who are worth a shit in this roster. Although I do kind of want a Bayley Bear. Oh, I knew she was fake. Sorry. I knew it.
Yeah. See, I haven't seen what you saw yet, but Tori Wilson too. When she, when her and Stacy Keibler came over, during the invasion. Now that was awesome. You know.
Oh yeah, that would have been.
The first match that they had was a bra and panties match against Lita and Trish Stratus. I mean, you know, thank you WWE for giving us that. You know.
And you know, Tori Wilson was awesome too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jacqueline. Can't forget about her.
Well, yeah. And I know Deborah didn't fight, but Deborah sort of brought the whole sexuality into the limelight with the whole Jerry the King Waller and puppy. Yeah. So.
And of course, I'm dating myself with this, but another, you know, now that you bring it up, now I'm like going way, way back. But a couple other good wrestling divas back in the day were the Fabulous Moolah and Wendi Richter.
Oh, wow. Well, Fabulous Moolah, that is way the hell back. In fact, I only remember Fabulous Moolah as being, like, basically belonging in a nursing home. I don't remember Fabulous Moolah being anything older than, like, a decrepit old lady. Anything different than that, though. But
well, yeah,
I do remember, though. She used to take bumps, though. She used to take bumps.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
when Rosie, when, you remember when Eric Bischoff had 3-minute warning? Jamal and Rosie, and they did it to the Fabulous Moolah, and they had Rosie Frog splash Moolah off the top rope. That was like that 80-year-old woman could take some lumps, man.
Yeah, and Mae Young too. She took some. She was put through a table by the Dudley
Boys. Yeah. So I mean, those old ladies, man. They were in it to the end. You remember the Oddities, Luna Vachon?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you.
She was a strange woman.
Well, look who her father and uncle were. Mad Dog and the Butcher Vachon. Look who her uncle and father were. I mean, how else are you going to be if those are your relatives?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she was a really strange cat, man. They had Jacqueline, who was the other one there? I'm just trying to remember the Attitude Era Divas, but, wow, so Charlotte really is, wow, Charlotte really.
That's the second time she's made her dad cry.
See, I don't like that with Ric Flair, because Ric Flair is supposed to be the dirtiest player in the game. He's just looking... He's just looking like a bitch right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, well, that one's mercifully over, thank God. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess the title of this episode was, is WWE going in the right direction? I think we have sort of come to the terms with the fact that no, they're not. They have signs of it. They have shades of going in the right direction, kind of like what we are seeing with that hotel room brawl and everything that we saw there. But I don't see it. I don't see them being consistent with this.
And they're not going to be. You know? Here's the deal. You're either going to go all the way or you're gonna stop. You can't have it both ways. You cannot be PG and throw a little attitude. You can't do it. You can't. You're either going to have one way or the other. There is no middle. You can't do it. And they're doing it. And they're screwing it up.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're doing this. I really don't.
It goes back to what I keep saying. They're insulting our intelligence.
Go back to the way it was in the 80s. Good guys versus bad guys. You know? Do that.
Yeah, it is that fundamental, honestly, when you think about it. It really is.
And, I mean, let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yep.
How would you rank the WWE product right now on a scale of 1 to 10?
This way. Frank, what the hell are you doing, man?
That's my character. I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring. And then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
No, nobody's going to get hurt. I'm telling you, it's like you said, it's all fake.
But it has... So, that's pretty much my opinion of it right now. We do have a caller on the line here, and I think I recognize the phone number. Caller, how goes it?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Icon, do you remember that voice?
I think so.
It's Jace Lewis, Section of Chocolate.
In one more week, New Day will be the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions. How do you feel about that, Icon?
Oh, it makes me sick.
They will be or won't be?
Oh, they will. They will. Well, you guys know why they're making them. You guys know why they're making them hang on to the titles, right?
Well, yeah, to break the record.
Well, I thought it was break the record. Yeah, but then I thought they were going to lose after.
No, the reason they didn't really care about the record, but what happened was I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but that whole concussion lawsuit being filed by the former wrestlers, Axe is one of the head men on that lawsuit. So this is WWE's way of sticking him, you know, the same way they stuck it to AJ Lee and everybody else before that.
Oh, well, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's the reason why I knew they still tag team champs. They kind of wanted to give Cesaro and Sheamus for some time now. But, yeah, they're just waiting for that whole thing to pass through, and then they'll give it to them. Well, that is interesting. I had no idea. And I thought I was the only one that had all these fighting for I was listening to you guys about the product. I think the product is a solid. If I had a grade of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 7. And mostly because of SmackDown.
Yeah, that high.
I think.
I'm not talking about SmackDown. I'm talking about how would you rank the product on Raw.
On Raw, I'll give it a 6.
Okay.
The only reason I give it a 6 is because I have to give credit where credit's due. Charlotte and Sasha are really carrying the brand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that feud kind of reminds me of Mankind, The Rock, the way they was trading title after title but had great matches. And other than that, no one else is really stepping up. So, yeah, I'm going to give the MVPs to Charlotte and Sasha with a, you know, recommendation and, you know, to Jericho's list, but which seems to have faded out because no one talked about the list in about 2 weeks. So, who knows?
I was going to say, I give it about a 3.
Jason's being generous and Icon's being pessimist. I see how this is going.
Well, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, I'm only being honest. I mean, if I want to see crap wrestling, you know, I'm not going to say that. Some of our opponents, but I'm not going to do that.
All right. Well, TLC was a great pay per view. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I'll definitely say
and,
that.
You know,
it was a hell of a. That might have been the top 3 ladder matches I've ever seen. Top 4.
Oh, I know. It was amazing. It was amazing, and the fact is, somebody actually went through a table. Okay, I mean, at Hell in a Cell, you have Hell in a Cell pay-per-views without the hell. You know, it's basically just in a cell. Okay, I mean, it really was. They were really lackluster, and the fact that the pay-per-view was called Tables, Letters, and Chairs, and people actually went through tables, is what made it interesting to me. And you know, the hottest chick in the business, in my opinion, Alexa Bliss, is now the champion.
So I think that's awesome. But let me ask you this then, Jason. Did you see some signs of Attitude Era-esque? It actually kind of reminded me a little bit of when Edge and Lita were in the hotel room and John Cena pretended to be the room service guy and beat the hell out of Edge. The hotel room scene with Enzo Amore and Rusev.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that segment. It's so funny how they're using Enzo and this little thing with Rusev, because you really didn't see that part coming. You thought he was going to have a match with Big Cass and nothing of it. But it was a good setup. I really like what they're doing with that storyline. Like you said, make it more Attitude F. But like Icon said, are they going to do it every way or don't do it at all? That seems to be the problem with WWE. But, you know,
well, they're just not consistent.
On the Rope was pretty damn hot, I will say.
It was.
Now,
it
Jason,
was.
Let me ask you this then. Icon said he would be willing to get his ass kicked, much like Enzo Amore got his ass kicked, just to be able to be in a room with Lana in a robe. I don't know if you heard that part, but just to be able to be in the room with Lana in a robe and give her a hug the way that Enzo did. But he's like, yeah, I would take an ass kick to be able to do that. I don't know, man. I don't know if any woman's worth the ass kicking that he got.
I would probably have to see more skin. But if I would have been able to see more skin and probably got a little peck, yeah, I would take that ass kicking.
Would you? Wow. So both of you are insane.
I know that I'm not the only warm-blooded American male that would take an ass kick at this. You know?
You're both insane. I mean, if I'm not tapping that, I'm not getting my ass kicked. You know what I'm saying? But that maybe that's just me.
Now I'm thinking about it, out of all the females on the roster, who would you take an ass kicking for? Lana's probably my top four.
Alexa Bliss.
I would have to agree with Alexa Bliss is one. I'm probably going to go JoJo for two for me. I'm not sure who's number three, but Lana could be number three or four.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Well,
I don't know about Becky. Becky might put me in an armbar, and, you know, I'd rather take, you know, I don't know.
Well, look, here's the deal, Chris. We all know that if you would take an ass kick and if you had a chance to be Edge's roommate for 6 months, if you took an ass kicking, we know that you would do that. Don't say you would.
Dude, I would present my ass willingly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I would even grease it up first.
Yeah.
But I know that, but now here's the thing. I would take an ass kicking like that for Alexa Bliss the same way that we know Jason would take a baseball bat to the rib cage for one night with Sasha Banks. We know that.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think I would take an ass kicking for?
Oh.
Besides one.
Well, I mean, you're kind of a horn dog. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Nia Jax.
No. Ah, Paige.
I'm kidding. Who?
Paige.
Oh, well, yeah, I knew that. I'm just being facetious. But,
okay.
Now, Paige, that's another thing on this Real Divas show. Like, this is supposed to be reality TV, but they all use their WWE names, you know? Like, she's Paige on the show. She's not Saraya or whatever her real name is, you know? And it's like, is this supposed to be reality TV? Why are you guys still using your acting names? I don't get that.
That's a good point. Well, because
it's so weird.
Paige is a real name.
No, Paige is not a real name. It's like Saraya something or other. Or Saraya or something.
I'm not saying her real name.
Oh, all right. Well, either way.
Saraya Del Rio. So, are they married yet?
I didn't hear about it.
She needs to dump that zero and come to this hero is what she needs to do.
Well, how sick does it make you, Icon, thinking about Paige and Alberto Del Rio rolling around?
Because he's a zero, I'm a hero, she needs to come to me.
Just think of a big tub of mayonnaise and those two rolling around in it.
You know, I'm going to wake up screaming every night until I die now thinking about that.
No, no problem. Well, either
I'm never
going to
look at a jar
or,
of mayonnaise the same way now.
Either that, or you can just think of you can just think of Vader in a man thong.
Oh Jesus! Oh Christ!
Now, is Vader? Did he die? By the way, you said he was pretty sick.
Well, Vader, no, he's got 2 months to live, they say. And,
really?
Yeah, the doctors have told him that he's dying. Same with Superfly Jim Snuka. Yeah, they give him 6 months because of his condition. So,
Well, luckily he was acquitted first because that would have sucked. He would have went out like Joe Paterno, and that's not good. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, Jason, I was in the city this weekend, but I was with family, so I wouldn't have had time to like meet up or anything. But I was in Manhattan. I just got back earlier today. And,
okay, you had a good time?
It was what?
You had a good time?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I always have a pretty decent time. It's a lot of walking because I went the wrong direction on where I thought I was supposed to go and ended up walking like probably a total of like 8 miles. But I was like, oh my God. But anyway, because I'm too stubborn to take a cab, I'm like, I'm not going to cab it. I'll just walk it. And then by the time I'm done with the walk, I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. But, yeah, it is what it is. It happens.
Well,
guys, WWE right now is – wait, say that again, Icon?
Well, you got lost because you think a compass stands for Weston.
That's true. But I also think East stands for Edge, and I want to go find it. So I'm always going East. But I don't know, man. I've been watching the network, and it's right around the time when Edge is starting to really come into prominence, and he's really starting to compete for the title and all this, and he just turned heel and just screwed Shawn Michaels at the pay per view, and I'm starting to really get into it now and go for it. It's good stuff. The WWE Network, they're getting their money's worth out of my subscription. That's for damn sure. I've been watching it like crazy.
Mine too, but I'll tell you what. Sorry to mean to interrupt you, Jason, but
no problem.
All the things that they have on the WWE Network, what is the... I'm talking about series now. I'm not talking about Raw or SmackDown or WCW reruns. Of all the different possible series that you can watch on WWE Network, what is your favorite series?
Well, honestly, I really only watched the show replays. I haven't really gotten into a lot of the series yet, honestly.
Okay. Well, mine.
Because I was kind of disappointed about the Edge and Christian show. Even though I love Edge, I couldn't sit by.
You don't like the Edge and Christian show, really?
No, I love Edge, but I couldn't sit through the show. It just wasn't doing it for me.
That's one of the reasons why I'm starting to warm up to Edge again is because of that show.
Oh really? No,
I
thought it was gonna make my pants tighter, but it didn't.
Yeah. Well, I know that whenever you watch an Edge match, you're in bed at 10, home at 12. I know, but still.
That's actually a good one. It's more like 10:45, but yeah. No, so I just think that right now the talent level isn't where it needs to be. And, we talked a little bit about how Roman Reigns – we thought Jericho was going to win the belt today and they were going to set it up for Roman Reigns to take the belt at the pay-per-view, but obviously that didn't happen either because Jericho got the win. But because Roman Reigns got the win. But I don't know, man. I think we came to the conclusion that they're teasing us with some Attitude Era-esque stuff. They're sort of throwing it out there. Like we saw the attack 2 weeks ago with the powerbomb onto the car. And all that, and then we saw the hotel room scene today, We saw, you know, Enzo and his junk being blurred out. We saw, you know, we saw some stuff. We saw what happened at the end of the show was actually growing on me now, because the show and the slapping her dad thing, there was a very attitude era type of moment. But then they have a bunch of crap in between it. And I mean, do you guys think that perhaps their ratings would get better and they would do better and they would be able to maybe possibly start righting the ship a little bit if they went back to the 2-hour format?
I think they would. And here's why. Like, between Raw and SmackDown, okay, SmackDown has got the better product. We know this. We've talked about this. There's no secret. The WWE knows this. They should switch it around. Let SmackDown be on for 3 hours. Let Raw be on for 2. Because SmackDown has got more interesting content that I want to watch compared to what Raw has for 3 hours.
That's true. I really do. I really feel like that the WWE has been it's been dominated by SmackDown ever since SmackDown Live went to SmackDown Live. And, you know, for your flagship show, that's almost like no offense, Jason, but that's almost like the Brooklyn Nets being better than the New York Knicks. It's like the Knicks are the New York flagship, and now Brooklyn's like the new New York team. And, you know, it's like they're making the playoffs and the Nets winning the world's the championship. It's not right in my head yet. So, that's pretty much what it is. We got about 2 minutes left to go. Just plugging some stuff here. Jason, fashionably late as usual, but it was great to hear from you again. We obviously have Off the Ropes tomorrow. Icon's going to start writing for us. That blog will be up for his recap and his opinion in the direction of the WWE shortly after this show. So make sure you check out overtime.news for that and see what's going on. The little British lady on the line just gave me the 90-second thing, so that's going to do it. We will see you next week.
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're going to pay.
Cause the end is now.